Now, we're recording this on Thursday the 20th at about the midday, and we've got the snow coming down. And when did you postpone the meeting on Thursday night?
Steve, the mayor did make the final call.
Yes, you did.
I don't get to vote at the board meetings. I'm the presiding officer, and I'm also am in charge of the agenda, and I make the decision whether we should have the meeting or postpone it. Our town manager and staff started giving me weather reports on Wednesday morning, and they were ready to make the call, but sometimes weather forecasts can change, so we waited until Thursday morning. I mean, when I heard WHLC unerring weather forecaster Tim Root say there will be slippery roads on Thursday night, that did it for me, and we made the decision to postpone that meeting until next Thursday, same time, same place, but that will be on the 27th.
I mean, you've been here a couple decades. You know what the falling temperatures and melting snow will do, so good call.
One of the things we have to consider now that 30 years ago we didn't, most of our staff lived right around the corner of Town Hall, so they could almost walk or just have a short drive in snow conditions. But now, many of our staff live in Franklin and have to go down the Gorge Road, or they live in Scaly or Dillard or Cashers, just everywhere, and it involves travel. And we want to always put the safety of the staff and the citizens ahead of any pressure to just have a meeting to get it off the schedule. So I think it was the right decision, and we'll always err on the side of caution.
Front page of the Highlander on Thursday. There it is. The firm was chosen to build the fire station. There are the preliminary plans for the new Highlands Fire and Rescue Building.
And I know the Public Safety Committee, along with the staff of the fire department and Chief Gearhart, were very pleased with selecting DR Reynolds as the construction manager for that project. They have a great track record and experience in building fire departments, and we will be depending on them, because with the rising cost of construction, it'll really be important to try to hold down those costs within the estimates that we had last year when we started the project. This is a first-class fire department. It will address a lot of things that we weren't able to do at the old department. One thing will be a turnout cleaning room where all the gear can constantly be cleaned after any kind of fire incident. I'm very excited that we'll have a training area for our volunteers. And we've researched this and we've discovered if you have a good training area and a good fire station with all the needed requirements, that makes your volunteers want to be there and train and really be connected to the program. Not that our folks are not already connected, but I just think that in the years it will serve as a kind of a meeting place for our volunteers and our first responders and people in the community. I'm very excited that we will also be having at the upper level a barracks complex. So we will be moving very soon toward a round-the-clock staffing of the fire department. That means when an emergency call comes in, there'll be somebody in the barracks that can go down the fire pole and get the trucks out the door as quickly as possible. I think it's going to be a great project, and let's just keep our fingers crossed that we can stay within the cost that we've projected.
Yeah, the 7 pull-through truck bays, the office space, sleeping quarters, a meeting room, full commercial kitchen. They're going to be proud to be a volunteer firefighter right here in Highlands.
Absolutely.
Also on the front page, a planned burn of the forest, or is a comment sought regarding the prescribed burning of the Nantahala forest. So what does that entail?
Well, they send out notification to the public every time they have a major initiative. I know that the new forest management plan is being presented and being reviewed. It's in its final draft form. And this is a part of the Forest Service trying to maintain and preserve the forest. Now, I know some people might have concerns about these burns, but I'd suggest that if you go all the way back to the days of the Native Americans, they also used burning as a way of managing and preserving the forest. I'm not an expert on this, so I'm not going to weigh in on it. I will say that with the drought that we had a number of years ago, a lot of brush and wood that was not cleared out actually served as a tinder box for a lot of those fires that we had. If folks want to make a comment, the newspapers provide the contact information concerning that.
the brush and trees, there were some comments about all of the cleanup and maybe a little bit of a question mark on that.
We discussed that last week, but it appeared in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And here again, I don't want to be too defensive, but what we removed was next to or under our utility right-of-way. A lot of those were just little small trees. There were some large trees that we had to remove. And there was a lot of just brush and trash scrubs that were just completely taking over that area, some of which non-native and invasive types of plants. So that was removed. One of the primary concerns is for having a clear path for the new large fiber bundles that will go into the old bathrooms, which will be transformed very soon into wide open networks hub for that entire network. People will be seeing building being painted, a new roof being put on in the spring, so it'll be ready to be a critical part of this network. And also this week we started coming in and bringing in field dirt where we removed that brush and trees. We put down straw as erosion control, and then during the spring we'll begin to start landscaping and planting and adding some new trees to that facility. So it's something that's going to be a work in progress, and I think it'll be very nice. I was surprised when I pulled up to the parking lot to work on Monday to see how much land had been cleared and how much would be available for things like where we could put picnic tables for people that are using the parking lot and they want to have lunch there. I think that we'll see a very nice development of this whole area coming this spring.
We have 5-star service at our Eckerd Living Center in Highlands Casters Hospital. My mom was 95 when she passed away. She needed some in-home health care. And when you find people that have patience, and that's what these ladies that are pictured on the front page of the Highlander, they deserve all the kudos we can give them.
Absolutely. And I want to congratulate them for that recognition. And you're right, Steve. I think almost everybody that lives in Highlands has had a family member or a friend or someone who has depended on this valuable resource, the Fidelia Eckerd Center. You know, I had a brother-in-law that was there for many years suffering with MS and he got wonderful treatment. I too had a mother who was there for a number of years. And then I had a father-in-law, Buck Trott. He was there for several years too. So it's a valuable community resource, and I'm just really delighted that they're getting this well-deserved recognition.
I smile when I remember going in there when Buck was there, and you could hear his voice booming down the hallway.
Absolutely. I think he thought he was the mayor of the Fidelia Eckerd there for a while.
And then if you want to see the ladies there, they're all named on the front page.
That's
and
great.
Well done, ladies. Well done. Very good. You've got your community coffee coming up, and we're playing this back on Sunday, so it's this Friday. Great to see that you started it early. That's great,
because it's
the open door policy.
That's right. It'll be at 11 o'clock at the Hudson Library. They have a wonderful meeting room and conference room, and we always hold it there. And again, I just like to always express my appreciation to the library, their staff, and their board for the support they have in putting these on. And I look forward to meeting with people and talking about the impending new budget and the process that we'll be undertaking, beginning with the annual Town of Highlands retreat on March the 5th. That will be held at the Coleman Hall of the First Presbyterian Church. And it's usually a pretty much an all-day workshop where we hear from staff and people in the community about the budget needs for the coming year. So I'd like to invite people, if you have an idea for what you think needs to be funded or a priority for our new budget, come to the coffee and share that with you. And I'll be sharing some of my priorities for the budget. One of the things that I did this week, I sat down in Lamar Nix's office. He's our public works director, and Lamar always has the big ticket items in public works.
Might as well go big.
That's right. And Lamar, he can see a few issues and replacement parts that have to be done at the water and sewer plant, some water lines to be replaced or electrical systems to be upgraded or roads to be paved.
Hey.
And you know, $200,000 here, $50,000 there, another $100 here and there, and all of a sudden we're talking about big money. But it's money that needs to be spent. And let me emphasize this. We do spend a lot of money on public works, like with our water and sewer. And the last thing you want to do as a town is to turn your head and say, oh, we don't need to replace these pieces of equipment. We'll just make do for a few more years. All of a sudden, you have a tidal wave of expenses and replacement costs. And there have been a number of towns in North Carolina that have almost gone bankrupt because they did not address those problems when they needed to be addressed, and they just kept delaying and delaying to where it became overwhelming. And our philosophy is to maintain our equipment and make the needed changes when it's due and not ignore these kind of situations.
Yeah, like the Plateau, that new magazine that I found. And there's a great article with you, wonderful pictures, and then talking about what the new Satula water tank, that was something that was much needed, and it holds a lot of water. That's looking toward the future.
Yes, it absolutely is. We built that really beyond the current capacity needs in some respects. But what that means 50 years from now, where we need another 150,000 gallons of water there, we've got it. Since that has come online, and we are still doing some landscaping, and we're going to do some painting and aesthetic activities to that site. And then we will be paving Satula because all the equipment will be gone, the heavy equipment. It lets me and the town manager and others sleep better at night because that old water tank that we replaced had started to leak.
Oh.
And we were keeping our fingers crossed that it wouldn't just completely blow out at any moment. So it's good to know that we addressed this problem, just destroyed the old tank. It's gone. And we have a state-of-the-art new tank online.
Yeah, check out the article there in the Plateau magazine. Nice article with our Mayor Patrick Taylor. So this week, we've rescheduled the town board meeting on Thursday, and then the following day is a community coffee. We've got a lot of open-door policy. And come out to the meeting and be a part of it. And the first thing, you can just say, stand up and say, Mayor, I think this is what I think and feel. And public comment is always welcome.
As always, I really welcome that. I open up with public comment and there's silence, and it's kind of uncomfortable. I'm expecting someone to come up and make a suggestion or make a comment. So we always welcome citizen input and people coming in and making a comment.
Well, if it's tough to get into that focal point of the meeting, it's such a nice little homey feel with a community coffee, and that's on Friday at 11 o'clock at the Hudson Library. Mary, thank you for coming in on this inclement day. On the snowfall, we may get 3 to 4 inches, but it's really about that freezing in the night, Thursday night and Friday morning. So thank you for coming in there. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.